In our previous shiur, we began a discussion about the halacha that we learn in our Gemara both on Daf Lamed and Lamed Vav of Ein Loshen Issa B'Cholof. There's a very fundamental question that needs to be understood in looking at this halacha. Is this halacha specifically said about bread? That bread, because it's a staple food item, as the Pasuk says, Alechem Yichya Adam, bread being such a fundamental food staple of our diet, Chazal were concerned that since bread is eaten with fleishigs and milchigs, that's why Chazal said we're not allowed to make fleishig or milchig bread. Or is this halacha because Chazal were, and therefore the bread itself is asur, and therefore, for example, if one would make a milchig bread even b'shoigig, that bread may not be eaten, or if one made a milchig bread, the bread is considered iser, and therefore that bread, that oven in which the bread was made, would have to be kashered because something non-kosher was cooked, was baked in that oven. Or is it a gzeira? It's a gzeira. Chazal didn't want you to have milchig bread in your possession. Chazal didn't want you to have fleishig bread in your possession because, as we just said, as we said in the previous year, we may come to eat the milchig bread with fleishigs. We may come to eat the fleishig bread with milchigs. But it's not that the bread itself is inherently usher. So the simple nafkamina is, like we just said, what would be the halacha if you made such a bread, would you need to kasher? If you made a milchig bread, would you need to kasher the oven? Do we say it's considered a chaticha di sura and kashing is required? Or do we, Chazal don't want us to have milchig bread, but they don't necessarily say that the bread becomes a piece of iser? So, actually, this question, which is of course the most fundamental question in understanding this entire sugya of milchig or fleishig bread, actually speaks to a much more fundamental issue. And that is a number of fundamental issues. One is this halacha said only by bread? Or was it said by other situations as well? The Taz, here in Simen Tzadik Zayin, in Sif Katan Aleph, discusses the following situation. He discusses a situation where they used to have on the table spice grinders to grind spices to eat. And he says, let's say your spice grinder became fleishigs. That means you ground hot spice, hot fleishigs with your grinder. Says the Taz, since the spice grinder was typically used both for dairy meals and meat meals, you need to immediately kasher your grinder. Another case that I saw the Pesukim discuss, number of interesting cases. Are you allowed to make a milchig drink? In other words, if you have a drink that is always, you drink it with all types of meals. You drink it with fleishig meals, and you drink it with milchig meals. So Chamudi Daniel discusses, are you allowed to make such a drink? Maybe that drink, since it's always used both with fleishigs and milchigs, in other words, the best example I could give is, could you make a milchig soda? Soda you drink with milchig meals, you drink with fleishig meals. If it's gone, you could have a real mixture. Another example that I sort of the post can discuss is, let's say you have a kettle. This comes up very often. You have a kettle in which you boil water on your oven. And that kettle, while it was boiling, while it was hot, some fleishigs or milchigs, makes no difference, splattered onto your kettle. And now your kettle is a fleishigs or milchig kettle. Are you allowed to keep that kettle in your home? There's a very strong argument that Dr. Tshuva makes that you shouldn't be allowed to keep that kettle. And actually, if it's a glass kettle, we know that glass can't be kashered. And you would therefore have to just immediately destroy that kettle. And the reason is because a kettle is used both for milchigs and fleishigs. And since the kettle is used for milchigs and fleishigs, we need to be concerned that you're going to use that kettle, that kettle will end up being used. You'll make yourself a tea that you're going to drink with at the end of your meat meal, or you'll make yourself a coffee and you're going to put milk into it, and you have to get rid of that kettle. Another example of such a shiloh, I'm just mentioning all these examples because they're so common that they could come up, is can you have what happens if your salt shaker becomes fleishigs, or your salt shaker becomes milchigs? You should have to, because you had it on the table, and some hot fleishigs or some hot milchigs fell on it. Do you have to kasher that? Do you have to kasher that salt shaker? And all of these shaylos really boil down to this one question: when we have this gezeiros chazal that they didn't want us to have milch the bread, was it limited to bread, or was it to any situation where Chazal felt it was to any situation where you could end up with a michshol? So interestingly enough, here in the Shulchan Aruch, one of the nice kelim on the Shulchan Aruch here is the Nachlas Tzvi. The Nachlas Tzvi has a long discussion about the following situation. He says, apparently, when the grapes did not come out in the right quality, the color of the wine from those grapes were, the color of the wine from those grapes were off color. And what they used to do in order to make the wine have the proper color, they used to put in a drop of milk. And the question is, are you allowed to have milchig milk? Actually, as we're going to discuss this, there's a much more of a shaila there. Because the amount of milk that's being put in is less than shishin. So it's not nice and tam. So maybe there we could be more lenient. So it's interesting, and we'll mention this first. The Nachlas Tzvi, at the end of that piece, discusses the why is there no problem of Geneva Stas. The grapes really aren't good quality grapes. The wine is really not a good quality wine. I'm just fooling the world by putting in this milk. So why isn't that considered Geneva Stas? So he says two reasons why it's not Geneva Stas. He says there's really nothing inherently wrong with that wine. For whatever reason, there's an off color. The off color doesn't really disqualify the quality of the wine. So you're not selling poor quality wine as good quality wine. That's one reason there's no problem with Geneva Stas. The other reason he says that there is no issue here of Geneva Stas, he says, is because the wine, this was very common. And if it's very common that that's what food manufacturers do, then we don't have a situation of Geneva Stas. Furthermore, he goes into a discussion also at the end of that piece, if something which is made lechazusa for coloring, does it become bottle or not? We know that even though normally there are situations of bittel, but by certain times we don't say bittel, a maimed we don't say bittel, by a nice time we don't say bittel. The question is, what's the halacha by coloring? He says that by coloring we do say bittel. And since the entire purpose of this milk, I imagine that the point was that it should be some sort of a clarifying agent. Since the entire point of this milk was only for coloring, then we could say bittel. But the question comes back, is this considered a situation of bittel issel chatchila? And again, in understanding the shaila, he quotes the Tzemach Tzedek, who says that we do have here a problem of bittel issel. And the reason we have a problem of bittel issel, says the Tzemach Tzedek, is because, I think that's pshat of the Tzemach Tzedek, is because bread by itself is, that's milchig, becomes osur. If bread that is milchig is osur, it's no different than putting in a drop of milk into a pot that's fleishigs. That even if you put in a drop that's bottled with shishim, it's still osur. because that's called bittul issa l'chatchila. So too, creating a bread that is milchiks, even though it's going to be bottled, if Chazal said that this bread is osur, it's considered bittul issa l'chatchila. However, the Nachlas Tzvi and the Daki Tshuva quotes other achroinim disagree, and they say that if it's put in to the small amount that it's bottle, then it's not considered bittul issa l'chatchila. And again, what is pshat in there, and what they're saying? What's pshat in there, what they're saying is that this is not, that the whole problem is that we shouldn't come to eat the bread together with fleishiks. Here, if this bread would be eaten with fleishiks, there would be nothing wrong done. And since there would be nothing wrong done, because this bread technically is not milchig bread, given that the milchig ingredient or the milchig ingredient in the wine is bottled, therefore we don't say bittul issa l'chatchila. So just to review, we have here a very fundamental question. What is the reason ein loshim pas b'cholov? Is it only because we shouldn't come to eat that bread with milk, and with milk and bread with fleishiks, or vice versa, and therefore the bread itself is not viewed as a chaticha de isura, or is the bread itself viewed as chaticha de isura? Lahalocha, the paiskim, take on both shitas. And therefore, for example, if somebody made a milchig bread, he made it even b'shoyig, it's osur b'achila. The Chacham Shloima here paskens that way, as does the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Ches, that since the bread is osur, the bread remains osur, even the bread becomes osur as a piece of isur, and therefore the fact that it was made b'shoyig is no different than if you made basa b'chol b'shoyig, it still would be asr. Regarding the question if this isr is limited to bread or is it by all other isurim, the Paiskim say that it applies to every, the Paiskim, as we saw, this is a very fundamental machlokes achroinim. The Paiskim seem to be machmer, the Taz is machmer, and other, the Chamudi Daniel, and others are, as well as are machmer. The Michis Yaakov is mako, because he holds that it's only by bread. Others as well are mako. It seems, along the line of reasoning that we're giving now, that if somebody would make one of these foods b'shoigig, then we could maybe be more makel by other foods if it were done b'shoigig versus bread that was made b'shoigig. The Paiskim also say, what is the halacha that regarding not just bread, what about cake? There, it really depends if it's a cake that's eaten together with food, with a meal. There the paiskim are more machmer versus a piece of cake that's not necessarily eaten together with a meal. Which leads to another interesting question. Before we go into that question, furthermore, the paiskim say, the Dr. Tshuva quotes this, he says that, let's say the bread is not made with milk, and this is very common nowadays. The bread is made with whey. Now, whey is not milchigs midaraisa. Whey is only milchigs midrabonim. Does it make a difference? Says the Dr. Tshuva, makes no difference. He says the reality is that we consider whey as a dairy. And therefore, if bread is made with whey, it would be a dairy bread. And we're learning now that dairy bread is osur. And therefore, it makes no difference if it's milk or it's whey, it's osur. What would be the halacha if you made a bread with meat or milk, but it's a type of bread that you don't normally eat together with another food? you eat it by itself. What would be the halacha? What is the concern? So as the Da'at Ketshuva and other achronim explain, the concern here is that you're not going to, there is no concern that you're going to eat this actual bread with milchigs or fleishigs, because this is the kind of bread that you don't eat with milchigs or fleishigs. But it's the but since there's a new concern, I may not realize that this food that I just ate is milchigs, and I'll eat fleishigs after it. Or I may not realize that the food that I just ate is fleishigs, the bread that I just ate is fleishig, and I'll eat milchigs afterwards. What is the halacha? So, as I said, this is a very big machloikus achroinim. The Chochmas Adam and other achroinim are makel, because they say that the chshash of milchig bread is limited to a situation where we're going to eat the bread with the meat itself or with the dairy itself. Whenever we don't have a situation we're going to eat the meat or the bread with itself, by itself, with something that it's also to be eaten with, only the concern is afterwards we could be more makel. On the other hand, the Yad Yehuda and the Sefer Madani Osher are machmer, and they say it makes no difference. It seems to me that this machloikis is related to the machloikis that we began our shiur with. Because we began our shiur with a discussion of why is milchig bread asur? Is the isser a knas, or is the isser because the bread itself, Chazal didn't want you to have milchig bread? If the isser is because Chazal didn't want you to have milchig bread, but as we learned in our previous shiur, and we'll still discuss it, that doesn't apply in a situation where it's not going to be eaten with meat or dairy. If, however, we find that this is a knas, the Chazal were concerned that you may come to do the wrong thing, you may come to make a mistake, so then it makes no difference if you're going to eat the bread together with milchigs or fleishigs, or you're going to eat fleishigs or milchigs after you eat the bread. Chazal were concerned that you shouldn't come to do the wrong thing. And Chazal were concerned that you shouldn't come to do the wrong thing, it makes no difference what is the wrong thing. Is the wrong thing eating the bread together with the milchigs, or eating the milchigs after you eat the bread, or vice versa? Another question is, when is the isser? Is the isser only when you make the bread, or if you made bread that was parif, and then you make it into milchigs? What is the halacha? So the Chavistas says that it makes no difference. You're not allowed to have milchig bread. And therefore, even if it became milchigs afterwards baked, and you can't tell that it's milchigs, the halacha is that it's awesome. However, I did see that the Da'at Ketshuva in such a situation is a little more lenient. And the Da'at Ketshuva says as follows. He says, in a situation where your bread was parif, so it's a perfectly fine bread, and then afterwards it became milchigs, says the Da'at Ketshuva, that there, even though normally you can't just bake a big bread that's usur and then divide it into small pieces, here he gives you two eitzes. He says, if you'll quickly divide the bread into small pieces, and you'll make it very obvious that the bread is milchigs, you'll smear cheese or butter on top of that bread, then he would be more makel. Why? Because the Da'at Ketshuva is taking the following approach. The Gemara, as we just learned, and the Shulchan Aruch, as we just learned, keep on speaking about ein loshin as se'isa. Ein loshin as se'isa means that you're not allowed to make the dough. Here, when the dough and the bread was made, it was made perfectly fine. So even though we're being machmer, and the reason we're being machmer is, as we just explained, because you may come to eat it with fleishigs or milchigs, perhaps under these circumstances, we could be more makel, and therefore, if you divide it up into small pieces and you make it obvious that it's milchig, and it didn't become us forever, there we could be a little more makel. There's an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. What about gluten-free breads? Gluten-free breads, obviously not made from one of the chameshes aminim, because they have a problem with gluten. So the question is, how do we, this is exactly our shear. Do we say that this Gezeiras Chazal was specifically said to bread? Because as we said, bread is your most staple food item. And since bread is your most staple food item, we have to be machmer that it can't be milchigs. Anything else is not considered your staple food item. Or do we say that there are people who, for whatever reason, are on gluten-free diets, so they eat the gluten-free bread as their bread, and since they're eating the gluten-free bread as their bread, so they can't have milchige bread, because they may compete with fleishigs, or vice versa. Again, since we're saying we should be machmer in both situations, it seems that even gluten-free bread should not be made dairy. Another interesting question. There's a factory that bakes bread. They bake regular bread, but the bread that they bake is not being baked for the purpose of being sold as bread. It's specifically being baked for the purpose to be sold to another company that makes French toast. And as we're going to discuss, it's quite obvious, based on the Gemara that we learned on Daf Lamed Vav, that French toast is allowed to be milchigs. It has all the heterim. It's one slice, and it doesn't look like regular bread. So here the question that comes up is the bread, how do we look at this bread? Do we say that the bread is bread, and we're not allowed to make milchig bread? Or do we say that since the purpose of making the bread is only to be sold further for French toast, and French toast may be milchigs. The way we're learning, since the Isser are making milchig bread, we're saying we have to be machmer, that the bread is not allowed to be milchigs, because milchig bread is considered a chaticha di yisura. Since milchig bread is considered a chaticha di yisura, we have to be machmer and not allow that bread to be baked milchigs, even though ultimately it's going to be used specifically for French toast.